Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, here we are already, our final segment of the day. It's a pleasure, as always, another in-studio guest with Shelley Kice. Shelley, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Wonderful. And this segment is going to make a lot of sense, folks. For those of you who've been with us for the full 2 hours, it really ties through so many threads. Shelley is the founder and president of Kice E-Systems. It's a firm helping leaders build organizational cultures focused on accountability, communications, and outcomes. She's presented seminars and training throughout the United States and in 6 foreign countries, as well as delivered over 1,000 speeches based on her expertise in business analytics, which is the real science behind using numbers for sound decision-making. Shelley has worked with many government agencies and our country's best-known companies to develop human capital strategies for the selection, development, and management of talent. Currently residing in Sarita, Arizona, Shelley's actually a native of the Panama Canal Zone. She graduated from the University of South Carolina, went on to earn an MBA, and also pursued doctoral studies in operations research. Today, she serves as an adjunct professor at the School of Business and Technology at Webster University, where she's received Faculty Excellence Awards, and she's also active in community service, politics, and I think the list could go on. Well, tell me, let's start out, Shelley, explain to our listeners what Kice E-Systems is all about, and particularly what you're looking to bring to the workforce.
Well, thank you, Zara. Thank you for having me. I'd like to start out by talking about an old Chinese proverb that says that the wise adapt themselves to circumstances as water molds itself to the pitcher. So that's what we do. We work with wise leaders and employees, and we help organizations adapt or change to fit new circumstances. So we do this a number of ways. We facilitate, we provide training, we do consulting. Much of our work is done in Washington, D.C., and we do have a GSA schedule, which means that we've competed and the government recognizes us as a service provider. And we're also accredited by the National Association of State Boards of Accountancy. So we offer continuing professional education units for those who need it. When I think about what we do, I just have to tell you that I feel like the closer at a baseball game right now, because what has taken place on your show today is kind of summing up some of the things that we do.
What do you mean by that?
Well, first off, I want to talk about some trends in the workforce. So here's what we know. We want economic security over a lifetime. We all want food, clothing, shelter. We want work and family balance. And so we want to enjoy our family and also meet the needs of our children and our parents. We also want workplaces that are safe and are fair. So what do we see coming down the pike? Well, you know, as I listened to Bruce, your first guest, I thought, there we have it. You know, we're talking about end-of-life issues. Well, guess what? We have 5 generations in the workplace
right now.
And then I listened to Pamela talk about bringing enough fuel. And we talk about engagement and being engaged in the workforce, showing up ready to go to work.
And in fact, the other element you'd say about what we want in our jobs is the type of work that really resonates passionately with what we love to do, not just fill in the blank or put a square peg in a round hole.
And so we talk about Danielle and the enthusiasm and excitement with which she is approaching her job and her future. So some of the things that we see coming, first off, globalization. One of the biggest issues here is by 2020, Brazil, Russia, India, and China will be the dominant centers of economic influence. It's something that we really need to think about, because what we're looking at is global talent pools.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
We're talking about virtual teams. That's going to become the norm. We're talking about multicultural workforce and diverse teams working together. And we see a little bit of that with Danielle talking about going down to Puerto Rico and then being over in London and people picking up on her blog. Which takes me to the next one I want to talk about, is corporate social responsibility. We want to give back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that also is not just the corporation giving back, but the people within the corporation are wanting to give back, particularly a generation of us who now are saying, you know, we've had the pleasure, the success with gratitude, but now how can we shift it to be significant?
Right. 86% of new college hires would leave an employer who had social responsibility values not aligned with theirs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We are a knowledge economy. So when we were an agricultural economy, land was important. When we were an industrial economy, we talked about coal and iron and things like that. Well, now we're a knowledge economy. And so we need knowledge skills, which takes us to a next trend, which is there's a skills shortage. Doesn't that seem hard to say when we're looking at unemployment rates? But we're talking about science, technology, engineering, math, all those things that I know you're familiar with. These are the skills that are required. And what we're also finding is that, in fact, entry-level skills are higher. I was listening to Danielle, and she was talking about interviewing and data collection and writing that research question and stratifying the data. And, of course, as an analytics person, that's what I'm hearing.
Life. Exactly, yeah.
And I was so excited to hear her talking about moving out and accepting those challenges, because we have shifting workforce demographics. We're going to have older people in the workforce. So we're going to see World War II folks still working. I did some work in Philadelphia a couple of months ago, and the oldest employee in the organization was 82 years old.
Mm-hmm. And not to discount that, but rather to know we need to embrace that, because that's where so much of the institutional wisdom is, where the tacit knowledge is that isn't explicit on how the business is taken care of. And also for those people at that point in their career, many, if they're set in the right safe environment, really want to teach and pass it on in a legacy standpoint. With hopefully those of us that are younger needing to embrace that and involve that in our other free thinking that we take on, that can be a little bit more independent, creative, probably risk tolerant.
And we're seeing this in organizations. And the other thing we're seeing is we're seeing more women. So we're seeing more women in organizations. So we've got these five generations. So we have a broader set of values and beliefs. And we need to embrace that, as you said. The other thing we're starting to see is employment to deployment. So we talk about more free agents in the workforce,
right, exactly.
The contingent workforce. So we're seeing independent contractors, part-time workers, temporary consultants. And as a trend for the workforce, as an employer, you have to determine what is the best mix for your organization.
Well, and if you're looking at, again, dealing with generational opportunities, not viewing them as disadvantages, that sometimes younger employees have a desire for perhaps a more flexible life arrangement because they want to take 2 or 3 months off to travel because they don't have yet life's overhead, namely house, dog, kids, whatever it might be. But yet that's some of your greatest creative spirit. Well, Shelley, tell me, how does eSystems fit into this then? How is it you would work with a company that would be, you know, small company to larger company that are faced with some of these big shifts?
Well, one of the things that we like to stress for our organizations is in order to be successful, you need to be agile.
Yeah.
You've got to be innovative. You have to demonstrate sustainable practices. You have to be socially responsible. So we have all these free agents out there. 73% have chosen this freelance style, by the way. This isn't something that we're being forced into. And so this agile workforce is an approach to working that gives maximum flexibility. and moves things out. So I want to talk about a client that I have right now. So I have a client right now that is facing all the big stressors. They've had a change in leadership. They have a lack of processes. They have poor organizational alignment. They lack vision. They have low morale. And then the performance indicators are there as well. They have declining revenue, lower revenue per employee, increasing costs. So how do we come in and talk to an organization? Well, first off, you got to get invited in.
Sure, exactly.
And secondly, we're not there to stay. We're there to facilitate you through this process. So the first thing we look for is we look for organizations that are ready to change, and they're not all. So from that point, then, we go and we look, is this starting from the top? We're looking for an agile leader who drives change. The organization that I'm describing has that. And so part of our job now is to include and engage everyone. One of the things that we did is we brought everybody together in small groups, and we helped them identify their vision. We had them engage and commit to being a part of the change. As they do that, the next thing we do is we use assessments to help them find out who they are. So becoming aware of who you are, how you think, what you feel, how you interact, helps you communicate with other people in your organization.
And also be mindful of their diversity so that you can engage in a new way, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we're working on the assessments right now. And, you know, one of the things that I like to say we're doing is we're raising curiosity and rekindling passion. Because that's what we want. So we're going to coach individuals, and we assist them in developing systems that deliver results. And as you said, I am in analytics, and I love that stuff. Give me the numbers. Let me crunch them. Let me see where the issues are.
So that's part of your challenge, I suspect, always, is to make sure you're creating the right measurements that then people will respond to them effectively and view them as helpful, not draconian to point to where I'm failing.
Right, right. And so one of the things that we do know, change is difficult, but it can be exciting. So we have to identify what are the metrics in the organization that drive the organization. You know, it used to be that a business was surviving 45 years. Mm-hmm. You know what it is now? 10. That's really scary.
Right.
For those of us who are in the older workforce, if you will, and that age, by the way, is over 40. So the older workforce, we're pretty surprised by that number. So as we work with this client, we're using our facilitation, our coaching, our consulting, and our training, because nowadays, lifelong learning is the norm.
Right.
And the skills play an important role in the workplace. So we're going to provide professional development or lifelong learning. So we're looking for four things in an organization. We're really focusing on mental agility, the ability to look at things through a fresh point of view, get out there and become comfortable with ambiguity and complexity. We're looking at people agility. Learning from experience. And that's why, as I've been sitting here this morning, just enjoying all of these conversations, because I've heard both of these already. The mental agility, the people agility, and then change agility. Have a passion for ideas. Like to experiment. Look at new things. Have you ever been in a meeting when somebody says, well, no, we tried that?
Oh, yeah, constantly. Mm-hmm. The death knell of innovation, isn't it?
Yes. So we're looking for people who embrace change and embrace experimentation, as well as results. Get results under tough conditions. It would be a real tough condition, as Pamela said, when you realize you're in trouble and you've only got a little bit of gas left.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to have results agility in that situation. So we're working with organizations to help them develop that, to develop those four competencies, if you will, as individuals and even as an organization. Organizations to succeed and to be sustainable need to embrace agility.
Absolutely. You know, when you and I recently had the opportunity to spend some time together, what strikes me, Shelley, is you're one, from a consultant standpoint, though, that you also love to train. So the idea of not just putting your hand behind the shoulder of the leader or walking side by side with them, but let us at it. We will provide training and allow it to facilitate. And I know that's one thing your organization has, is a really well-equipped facility that allows you to step in and be a training arm for your clients.
Yes, we do. We have a facility on Valencia Road at 1840. Some of our Tucson listeners may know that as the Millionaire Building. Mm-hmm. And we have a facility there with 16 thin clients working off a 2008 server. And we can upload your software if you have some agency or organization specific software that you'd like to use, or we run Microsoft Office 2010. And I'd like to share a quick story with you. I had a client one time, as a matter of fact, I still have them. They are a global client and they wanted to roll out HR analytics for their organization. And one of the things that they were talking about was purchasing a software package that did statistics. Mm-hmm. And then they were going to train about 350 people in the software. And I said, you know what, I think we can do that without that purchase. I think we can do many of the same things you're talking about, correlation, regression, all that fun stuff, descriptive statistics. And so we were able to save that organization a huge amount of money by designing a training program for them in HR analytics for all their HR directors, managers, and generalists globally. We offered the course in Europe. We've offered it in India, China, and throughout the United States, as well as Central America, and saved huge amounts of money and got the same results. So part of my job is also to assist organizations in the decision-making process.
Right, exactly. And in fact, that you would say, and the more data you could have at your fingertips to make that decision, the happier it would be, and then also to have the data after the fact to validate you really got what you wanted.
Right. And we do that also in all of our training classes. We are going to have an evaluation, and that evaluation is going to look not only at the materials, but how the time was allotted, how the instructor performed, the student's pre and post knowledge of the subject area. And I love hands-on training. You can't tell me about Excel, but if you work me through it, I'm there. And so one of the things I always say to folks, rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5 in Excel, and then we'll get this class started. And oftentimes I get a lot of 3.5s and 4s and sometimes even some 4.5s. And then we say, I'll start by saying, okay, we're going to load the analysis tool pack, and I get about 16 blank stares.
So it's like, uh-oh. Yeah. Dive.
Yes. So in our training, many of the things that we do open up new opportunities for people to deliver on the job the day they go back to work. They're doing something new, and they've added value to their organization with new data analysis, charts, graphs, tables, and they're able to tell a story.
Precisely, because that's really what you want to do, is not just pretty charts, but what's the story, and then what do I do with that information? Well, Shelley, you mentioned earlier about the changing in the workplace. So for our listeners that are individuals tuning in, they're saying, okay, what's the personal messages here? What should I be doing to anticipate what's coming? And what's some of your advice in that area?
First off, build self-confidence. And I say build self-confidence, and how do you do that? Well, you go out and you take a risk. Make yourself vulnerable. Take a training class that's outside your comfort zone, because then you'll learn and move into your learning zone. Mm-hmm. And I as an instructor will never let you go to the panic zone. So you'll always be in a safe learning environment. So build self-confidence through trying new things, through taking a risk. Know your emotional intelligence. Recognize your feelings and show empathy. Know not only how you feel about things, but how other people feel. Go out and also inspire vision of the future. And sometimes I'll have folks say to me, you know what, I don't see that. I've got five generations in my workplace. Everyone can inspire a vision for the future. Motivate others. And then one of my favorites is be a good role model. While you're doing that, manage performance, set expectations, and then provide support and stimulation. Commit to developing people. If you're a leader or a manager in your organization, commit to develop your people. They need challenges. They need interesting work. You know, I'd like to say that we show up for money, but that's not true.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you're right. And it keeps people hooked, truly keep them engaged. And I would suggest to a lot of our listeners here that Shelley's mantras here for leaders equally apply to us as individuals, that part of our job really is to be role models for others, to mentor and coach others of our colleagues, whether they, quote, formally report to you or not. That's really where the value is going to come for everybody to be in this together in terms of your organization, whether that be in your context of your for-pay life or your not-for-pay life, meaning your community service, your work at your children's school, or even in our families. These messages are the same because family dynamics are changes equally as much as workforce dynamics are.
Absolutely. And this is not, it's not going to change. If people are waiting for everything to just settle down.
Welcome to the new normal, right? Isn't that true?
That's right.
Shelley, your lifetime of work as a teacher, a trainer, and giving speeches and like, you've obviously helped a lot of organizations change. How do you think you've changed by helping others change?
I have personally grown and learned to lead with a servant heart. That is probably one of the biggest things that I've seen through the years. I look at every student with an open heart and provide examples for them to learn and grow personally.
That's wonderful. Really well placed. Well, thank you. This is a wonderful tying up segment for a great show today, and I've enjoyed our time. My interview just now was with Shelley Kise. You can learn more about her organization at www.kaisesystems.com here in Tucson, and their office number is 520-445-6330. Shelley, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Zara.
My pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.